Hi there, Justin here, the founder of The Flip. And before we start, I want to first say thank you for listening to this episode of the show. I also wanted to let you know that this series was filmed on the ground in four countries across the continent. And while we will always publish our new episodes to this podcast feed as well, if you want to watch this episode, please check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. I've left a link in the show notes.
I feel 3, 2, 1, and marker.
So how many jobs do you have?
I'm a student, a farmer, a building consultant.
I have 3 jobs currently.
I'm doing the rosier, I'm selling the nip-nap diapers, and also I'm selling sweets as a high side hustle.
And also work with Tendo as well.
Actually, I do a lot of stuffs for a living.
I have 6 jobs, yeah.
In an environment with high underemployment and few formal jobs, where 80 to 90% of the work in select African countries is informal, this is what work looks like. A portfolio of work. For some, it's a choice, for others, a necessity, where even those with a formal job may feel like they are not earning enough to make ends meet. In our first episode of this series on job tech platforms and the future of work, we argued that the future of work is a tech-enabled portfolio of work. But what does this portfolio of work really look like? And what happens next? We know we need to create more formal jobs in Africa, and that we need to boost the productivity of the informal sector. But how do we get there? Considering the context of the markets in question, the future of work isn't going to be designed or endowed. It's going to be bootstrapped. Bootstrap, carried out with minimum resources or advantages. There's a concept called bootstrapping development from the social scientist Charles Sable at Columbia University. The idea is that imperfect institutions can produce good outcomes by constantly learning about evolving conditions and adapting to them. The prior belief in development economics was that you need good institutions to produce outcomes. But the idea of bootstrapping development turns that on its head. What if it's actually outcomes that produce institutions? Instead of preconditions for growth, there are incomplete and evolving institutions that are good enough. I think about that in the context of labor markets across Africa, where the majority of work is informal and where not enough formal jobs will be created for the continent's fast-growing population. As a result of these market realities, many people take a portfolio approach to work. They're bootstrapping. It reminds me of a conversation with Shayo Fuluio, CEO of the South African home services platform Kandua, from a prior episode of our podcast series on the future of work.
I was talking to a service provider and I started looking at his profile, giving him advice. I'm like, yo, my guy, you're a handyman, a tiler, a pool specialist, and a solar specialist. I'm like, in terms of this platform, focus on one because that's how you're going to be able to win customers on our platform. And he said, I'm not sure. And maybe I'll come back later, like back to this job later. And I said, so what are you going to do instead? He said, I've been doing a property course and I'm now going to be looking at doing real estate. And he said, yeah, well, but I'll be back. And you know, that kind of mentality of just like getting in where you fit in, finding the flows. Maybe his friend is doing well, doing this property thing. He's like, oh, well, that's an opportunity there. Let me follow that for a bit. Okay, cool. When pool specialist comes back in summer, when people want to get their pools ready and he's seeing an influx, he'll come back to pools. That's the nature of a lot of work in our environment.
This is what bootstrapping a portfolio of work looks like. There's a willingness to experiment and try different things and move around depending on where there is demand and opportunity.
I really like Kampala. It's a city of hustlers.
That's Shalom Ishimwe.
I'm a refugee from DR Congo. I've been living in Uganda, I think 5 years, coming to 6 years now. I am a job tech lead of Job Tech for Refugees at African Youth Action Network.
A premise of job tech platforms is that they're inclusive, and refugees are one of many different groups of people using job tech platforms to build their portfolio of work.
You see them now, they're interpreting here. On the other side, they want data collections, they run there, they do that. In the evening, you see them moving around, hawking with their jewelries and all that. They're telling you how, if you want makeup, I can do that.
There's an inherently experimental, even entrepreneurial approach to building one's portfolio of work.
We can have a passion of being a teacher, but hey, being a teacher is not going to pay all the bills required for you to live in Kampala. So that's why you say, okay, yes, I'm a teacher, but I think I'm also a good makeup artist. Let me be doing this in the weekend. As you're doing makeup artists, you find that the people that you always do that, a makeup artist with, they always struggle to get clothes. They always struggle to get someone to dress them. Say, oh, by the way, I also have a good taste of dressing. Let me also do that. Those are already 3 jobs that you are doing. Why? You need money. Where can you get money? Try different ways.
I had downloaded so many apps to gain extra cash.
That's Joyce Mwangi from Kenya, a user of the market intelligence and data mapping platform, Rwazi.
So November last year, I came across a reel in Facebook about Rwazi. As usual, I downloaded the app.
And while the primary consideration for users of a platform like Rwazi is earnings, there are other considerations too, like flexibility, skills development, and access.
Rwazi has given me an opportunity to at least interact with different people, different outlets, and you are able to identify new opportunities. I was able to discover that the outlets are not getting suites, that I was able to buy some suites and sell it on my own. As much as you are gaining cash with Rwazi, you are able also to get the opportunities, what else the outlets need. If I was to start a business right now, I'm much more aware of what I can go to.
The problem in African markets is lack of demand, which compels users to bootstrap their portfolio of work and in some instances, like Joyce, to extract other value from a platform beyond earnings itself. And it raises a question around how platforms should be thinking about what pathways look like for their users. In a panel at this year's Africa Job Tech Summit in Nairobi, Uber's head of East Africa, Imran Manji, shared how the ride-hailing company thinks about this question.
What we see is there's two entry points. There's a driver that has their own car, or a driver that doesn't have their own car but wants to drive on Uber. What we see over time is a driver could start off just renting a car per day. After a few months, they then may commit to lease-to-own model. But at the end of that 2-3 years, they now own that vehicle. So they now have a significant asset that can help them generate wealth. And a lot of our most tenured drivers on the platform will be vehicle owners themselves. Many of them come to the end of their repayment. They now own the vehicle. They will place that vehicle with somebody else and say, now, look, you pay me every day for this vehicle. I'm going to go get another loan for a second vehicle and then, you know, compound that forward.
Underemployment looks like the driver renting a car. But the aim is for drivers to ultimately own their own car, which increases their profits from the platform. So bootstrapping development looks like this gradual evolution that Uber is taking its drivers on. Perhaps we need not worry too much about the job. If platforms can continue to generate demand, the bootstrappers will work out how to take advantage of the opportunity. Making a dent in a portfolio of work is valuable and a seed or a pathway to growth. That's how development happens. Instead of waiting for formal jobs to appear, bootstrapping creates pathways to formalization and standardization. And job tech platforms have a role to play, particularly by using technology and data to better organize informal markets and to unlock growth opportunities like access to finance. Instead of trying to remake Africa into what it should be, it's imperative that we don't wait for a specific set of conditions. For more on this topic, check out the Future of Work podcast series we published last year, which we'll link to in the show notes, and check out the work that the JobTech Alliance is doing at jobtechalliance.com. And one more thing, if you enjoy The Flip and want to support the content that we create, please hit that subscribe button. It only takes a second, but it will mean a lot to us if you do.